wake up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh,
yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up, get them up, get them going. It is Thursday on B&E. That makes it a Buck Off Thursday. Buck Offs and Buck Ons all morning long. Who has earned a pat on the back? Who deserves a kick in the hindquarters? You decide. Each and every Thursday, we'll take those on your specs text line, 512-337-3776. Might be some Buck Offs for the coaching carousel, Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly, and the like. Also, Major League Baseball into a lockout for the first time since the mid-90s. We'll dive into labor strife. That's always fun. And certainly news from the 40 acres as well, with a lot to do. It's going to be a fun 4 hours, and it begins right now. And we appreciate you being there on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. We are always streaming, making it as easy as possible to find us on our Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com. Buck, on to you, Mr. Godbolt.
Same to you. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for what you do. It is appreciated. During the holiday seasons and the non-holiday seasons, a day, every day, and forever. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it. We really do.
Yeah, no doubt. Day 2, December. It's going to be a little cloudier today. It looks like could be some fog again this morning, so be advised of that. Rain showers in the forecast tomorrow, but still looking pretty good into your weekend. It's championship Saturday on tap in college football coming up Saturday. Obviously, the conference title games across the board. The Final Four will be determined as of Sunday. Also, tonight, it's the NFL Week 13. Cowboys, opening Week 13. The scuffling Cowboys, they've lost 3 of 4, but may have Amari Cooper back on the field tonight, which they would like to see that with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. It's only happened twice so far this year to have the top three receivers for Dak Prescott. And then on defense, looks like DeMarcus Lawrence might be back for the Cowboys tonight, Buck. On that defensive line, of course, he hurt his foot in practice way back in September. Cowboys maybe get him back this evening as well to bring some defensive reinforcements for that side of the ball, which gave up over 500 yards of offense to the Vegas Raiders on Thanksgiving, Buck. In addition to all the penalties that they had, they were not very good on Turkey Day. They're looking to rebound from that.
Yeah, and they're playing a banged-up team tonight, too.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara on the other side for the Saints is listed as questionable. That would be a big factor for them. Taysom Hill is going to get the start tonight for the Saints. Sean Payton has made that announcement, so you know you're going to get a steady dose of the quarterback run game.
Absolutely.
Tonight. And his bam-bam Taysom kind of thing, the boy on a bicycle from back in the day, Buck.
Still
from
getting
BYU,
it done.
BYU, who tormented the Longhorns for a couple of years, is going to get the start for Sean Payton. Will Alvin Kamara play becomes a big factor in this game. Yeah, but the Saints are a team that, with Taysom Hill, should be, they're not an explosive football team. Let's just put it that way.
They just need some scores. They don't need a bunch of scores. They just need to, they have a hard time scoring, period.
Yeah, man, you can't.
No great wide receiver out there. It's just
the Cowboys are way more talented than the Saints,
for sure.
To be honest about it. But you're playing a night game in the Superdome on a Thursday, so it'll be loud. The Houdat Nation will be out in force, which will make it. You know, this is the most penalized team in pro football. The Cowboys, for crying out loud, you can't be behind the chains and giving up. No turnovers will get you beat. You know, one game we saw a few weeks ago with, you know, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers losing in New Orleans because Tom Brady threw all those interceptions. That's got to be eliminated tonight if the Cowboys are going to get back on track and find a win. And it would be a big one. If they can get a win tonight, then they get the extra 10 days off ahead of a divisional game with Washington. Need to get a victory tonight. So we'll preview the Cowboys in Week 13 in the National Football League and get into all the other top stories of the morning. And you had a chance to play a little golf out at the UT Club yesterday. How about you?
Gorgeous out there.
Buck on to you, man.
Yeah, gorgeous. It is absolutely. Steve Tremere and the folks out there have that place in tip-top shape. And the greens are lightning fast. And just the whole grounds, everything looks beautiful out there.
It's a beautiful golf course. That's fun that you got to get out there and kick it around.
And I got to move up to tee box, too.
Yeah, you had an old fella telling you, hey, move on up there.
Get on up here with me.
Get on up here.
Ed said, come on up here with me. I'm 73. Said,
pride and ego, Zay. Pride and ego, my friend.
He said, don't you like having fun when you play golf? I said, golf? Fun? What, are you kidding me?
Yeah, because Bucky is 67 now?
66, going on 67.
Okay, sorry, I added it a year.
Yeah.
Or else you skipped one, I don't know.
No.
But either way, we'll give you 66, but you're playing with a 73-year-old guy that was pounding it out there.
Yeah, and I was at the tee box with him, and I was still getting pounded. I'm like, come on, man.
And he said, why don't you move up, old man?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And it still was not a pretty sight.
We'll say hi to Steve Tremere and the great group out there at UT Club.
They are wonderful.
Great folks. And we appreciate that. Let's get to the headlines, trending topics. A lot of news from the 40 acres that we've got to get to, and the major national stories as well. Let's get to the headlines. Ernie Hatton Real Estate, making it happen and bringing you the news. Longhorns and Sooners have not yet announced when they're going to make their move to the Southeastern Conference. And so as a result, the Big 12 yesterday released its college football schedule for next season. Put that out. And, of course, the Longhorns, if they're still in the Big 12, will have a three-game non-conference schedule facing Louisiana Monroe, UTSA, and Alabama. Texas now knows they will, if they're still in the Big 12, will open conference play on September 24th in Lubbock facing Texas Tech, then a home match with West Virginia the following Saturday, and that'll be ahead of the annual Red River rivalry game set for October the 8th in, of course, the Cotton Bowl. No Thanksgiving Day or day after game for the Longhorns this year, or next year, I should say. That would be the Longhorns will host Baylor in their regular season finale the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Big 12 championship game set for December the 3rd. In other news from the 40 Acres, prominent University of Texas donors, former Longhorn athletes, and veteran sports marketer Nick Shuley announced yesterday that they have formed and have launched the first of its kind name, image, and likeness program called the Clark Field Collective. According to Shuley, the collective has received an initial pledge commitment of $10 million and has a stated goal of becoming the largest dedicated fund in the nation for college athletes. The Clark Field Collective is unaffiliated with the university, but has been created to assist the school's athletes in 17 varsity sports in cultivating and facilitating NIL opportunities in conjunction with businesses, donors, and fans. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up. Basketball at the Irwin Center last night. 15th-ranked Texas women improved to 5-1 on the year. They took down Jackson State 78-64. Next up for Vic Schaefer's Longhorns will be a trip to College Station Sunday afternoon. Play 17th-ranked Texas A&M. That's a part of the Big 12 SEC showdown. Have more on that game coming up in the Craig Wade Report. NBA last night, Mavericks crushed New Orleans 139-107. Houston won their fourth straight. They beat Oklahoma City. As we mentioned, the Cowboys open week 13 in the NFL tonight in New Orleans. Cowboys wide receiver Amari Cooper was activated from the COVID protocol list yesterday. He did practice on a limited basis. Cross your fingers he'll be able to go tonight. You'll hear that game right here on the Horn. Pre-game gets going at 7 o'clock. Major League Baseball has officially entered into its first labor stoppage since 1994, with owners voting unanimously yesterday to lock out the players. The move came at midnight last night as the collective bargaining agreement expired. The CBA is the contract that allows MLB and MLB players to conduct business. Commissioner Rob Manfred is going to hold a press conference this morning in Arlington to discuss the next steps.
Brought to you by Ernie Hatton Real Estate. Let Ernie Hatton show you how to use your current equity to move up into the home of your dreams. Call or text Ernie Hatton at 507-5142.
The new image and likeness group that's got together, is this a group is it all primarily athletes at the University of Texas, or are they looking for kids around the nation?
This is solely for Texas.
Solely for Texas?
Yeah, the Clark Field Collective. Mm-hmm. Nick Shuley is the guy ahead of this. We're going to try to get Nick on the show. He's a prominent sports marketer. He's worked with Bo Jackson and Lance Armstrong, Lollapalooza. He's big in the marketing side, and he's going to be the face of this thing. As a matter of fact, he's going to be the CEO. And they're going to have a board of directors for this thing. This is a pretty intensive situation. Former Longhorn basketball star T.J. Ford is a part of this already. Kenny Vaccaro, former Longhorn football player, is a part of this as well, at least in the initials. As they said, their stated goal is to have the largest dedicated fund in the nation for college athletes. And I know we've talked about it a lot. We've gotten a lot of text messages from folks who say, what is Texas doing to reach into the deep pockets that they have? We talked yesterday a lot about Lincoln Riley and USC and the deep pocket donors at USC and branding and name, image, and likeness in Hollywood. Well, look, Texas takes the backseat to nobody when it comes to deep pockets, right? So how do you tap into that? How do you organize it so that when student athletes in all sports, including football, want to cash in on name, image, and likeness to help their brand, where do they go? This essentially is where they're saying this is where you come. It'd be a one-stop shop to get yourself going in NIL and cash in while you're at Texas.
By the way, you have to be pretty good also in this deal. they're going to, this is kind of sometimes a hope and a prayer that the athlete turns out to be really good also. You just can't be just anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody will have access to it.
Yes.
But yes, I mean, this is just starting, and the NIL is brand new. So, you know, it's going to take something like this to just organizing instead of having it be the wild, wild west of all that goes on and, you know, fend for yourself. Nick Shuley said yesterday that the collaborative aims to serve as a one-stop fund to be disseminated among all sports for NIL activities, including endorsements, autographs, appearances, and more. Essentially what it'll be, and as he said, the stated goal is to be the largest of its kind in the country. Shuley had a quote where he said, it's a game changer. He said, this is a program that Texas deserves. If we're going to do something at the University of Texas, it needs to be done right.
Well, yeah, it already changes the game in recruiting, because if you're going to recruit somebody's son, this is... They will have deals already lined up, depending on, I mean, this change, especially quarterbacks. This is the one that changes the quarterback.
Speaking of that,
landscape
Steve
right
Sarkisian
here.
Sarkisian is planning to be at Isidore Newman High School today in New Orleans, Louisiana, to visit one Arch Manning.
There you go.
That is according to the.
Think weather's going to stop him, Zay, from getting there?
No, I don't think so.
No, you told the story of you turned a plane around because Warwick Dunn. You were going to recruit Warwick Dunn, and there was a storm, and
I'm not dying for Warwick Dunn. I got a few here in the stable that I...
Buck off, man. You soft.
What do you mean I'm soft?
Warwick Dunn, game
me?
Changer. Program changer. What a player.
Ricky Williams, program changer.
Well, you got to keep him coming, brother.
Yeah, no, I know. You don't just stop
can't
at that
stop
one.
At one.
No.
No, that is the word from Isidore Newman High that Steve Sarkisian will be on hand. You know, obviously
planes, trains, and automobiles. I'd have rather been an automobile.
Well, where'd you have to get all the way to? He was in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where Warwick Dunn grew up. But that's going to happen today. But you're right. I mean, those are the kind of this is an organ. You know, you're organizing the money, right? And
mm-hmm.
They've already got an initial donation of collection of $10 million. So, you know, eight figures to begin, but that's just the beginning. And, you know, they want to be able to tap into NIL. This is organized in the deep pockets of Texas, essentially, with Nick Shuley. And we'll try to get Nick on the show, talk about where this goes, what the vision is. But it's, it's what you need to do. You need to be in the conversation on this so you can present that as a recruiting tool.
For sure.
And make that part of the deal. I mean, that's just
tell me that Arch Manning, they don't have anything set up. You don't get, like I said, when this first all came out, you don't even get the kids on campus unless you already tell, especially a quarterback, that we don't have anything set up for you. You don't say that just come to Texas. No, you already let, they already, those kind of guys already know, E, what kind of deal they got going on.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
or
Arch Manning comes with his own brand name anyway, right? I mean, he comes in with the name Manning.
Sure.
I mean, talk about branding. He's branded. I mean, he's Peyton and Eli's nephew. Everyone knows him. Of course, Archie's his father, or grandfather, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So that comes already branded. But, you know, if you're going to improve that brand, where is that going to be?
That's right.
I mean, it's really about playing football. Let's not forget about playing quarterback. But, you know, it's he comes in with a brand that's already set. But, you know, Texas at least can sell the city of Austin. The tech hub it's becoming, with over 100 tech companies already here, the biggest names in technology. It is, boomtown, we know that. So can you sell that? And you got to sell a good football program, too, which is what Steve Sarkisian is aiming to do, present the vision of where it is, which is 5-7 and not in a bowl game,
right?
And where it needs to go and how, you know, Arch Manning and others can be a help to that. But that's called the Clark Field Collective. And we'll keep you posted on that as it goes.
Now there's a lot of ifs and nuts, and if my aunt had those same things, that she'd be my uncle kind of deal going on, that could Texas have gotten Brian Kelly if they really went after him last year?
Yeah, we mentioned that when Brian Kelly, I mean, yeah, did you do your due diligence on that? Would you rather have Brian Kelly than, you know, Steve Sarkisian?
Well, there's a lot of people who say they'd rather have anybody right now at 5-7. That's easy to say.
Well, Brian Kelly was introduced yesterday at LSU. He is the new head coach there, 10 years, $95 million. And, you know, he's going to go take his talents to the Southeastern Conference, which, again, that will always beg the question. I mean, Longhorns, they need stability in this program. They need a coach at the helm that's going to be stable and guide this thing back. But at the same time, it's a fair question. Did Jay Hartzell, Kevin Eltife, CDC, Crystal Conti, did they do a full search? Did they ask everybody, right? I mean, if the Texas job comes open and you're looking for long-term stability, you know, did you even ask Brian Kelly? Did you even make the phone call? And if you didn't, some would say that that's not doing your job. You know,
not when a guy's been successful for 12 years at a place like Notre Dame.
And, you know, it'll as you said, it's ifs and nuts and what could have been, should have been.
Yeah.
But Scott Woodward, the AD at LSU, you know, this guy said, we're going to get an established high-end coach. I mean, he's the same guy that hired Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M.
Yeah, and we're going to break the bank, and money won't be an issue, even though we may
Woodward's,
not.
Woodward's the AD who hired Chris Peterson at Washington when no one thought Chris Peterson would ever leave Boise.
You're right.
You know, this is that's a guy selling it, right? That's a guy who's you could say, man, we'd like to have Brian Kelly. Well, did you sell him? Did you hit him up and did you go there? Could he have had Lincoln Riley? Probably not, but. You know, do your due diligence becomes the question. And, you know, some Texas fans will, and I know we'll hear from them this morning on a Buck Off Thursday, did you settle for Steve Sarkisian?
And a lot will also say no, they wouldn't want Brian Kelly either.
I don't know why not, but yes. I mean, you're right. I mean, this was the fit that they wanted, right? They wanted an offensive mind who's got SEC experience and, you know, his best coaching days are coming. I mean, that's obviously the argument for Sark that, he was a fast riser in coaching and then hit his own personal issues and has worked his way back, and his best days are coming. And you hope it's at Texas, the good combination. But at the same time, you know, Brian Kelly has been successful everywhere he's been. I mean, he
raises the bar for sure.
He was at Central Michigan where he won. It's funny that J.J. Watt tells the story that when he was being recruited out of high school, the great defensive end for the Texans, now Cardinals, J.J. Watt says Brian Kelly was the one recruiting him to Central Michigan and talking about how he was trying to make, he wanted to make Central Michigan the Boise State of the Midwest. This is when Boise State was at the top, right, with Chris Peterson. We want to make that, and of course, he was gone the next, J.J. says before he even committed, Brian Kelly was gone to Cincinnati, where he built the Bearcats program.
I mean, as he was recruiting him, he was already leaving?
Yes, because that story's being told because now Brian Kelly's bolting Notre Dame while he's in a in-house visit. But so, yeah, Kelly then built Cincinnati. He built Notre Dame. And, you know, that's the one thing that you could say about Mack Brown when he got here. Mack Brown had built programs, right? He had turned around Appalachian State. He had turned around
the basketball school there.
And North Carolina, the basketball school, and made it, you know, wasn't a national champion, but it was a championship contender. And so, you know, Tulane, where he did a nice job in his first head coaching, second head coaching job. Mack Brown had a track record of building programs like Brian Kelly. You know, Steve Sarkisian, does he have a track record of building championship level programs? That's a very fair question.
He's been on one. He hadn't been in them. He's been on one.
Right.
Yes.
But has he built one? No. Would he have without the personal stuff? That's, again, this is where the ifs and nuts, and we'll see. But he is the coach of Texas, and I think that's a fair question. But, you know, it's 2020 hindsight now.
Yeah, I just think it's still a growing process here. No matter who would have come here, nothing. I don't think anything. I don't care if it was Nick Saban. This thing was not going to turn around in 1 year.
This not is not 1 year, but
yeah. But my expectations were you have enough good players to make some of them better, and you shouldn't be 5-7.
Well,
in this conference,
I was talking to some folks this week about Steve Sarkisian, and one of the things I was told that I found interesting is Steve Sarkisian is a brutally honest coach, and that's was part of the problem with. This year, that for the first time, some of these players were told exactly what the coach thinks of them, right?
Well, then, and if that's the case, they got a lot of them to get rid of.
Right. And that's, again, that's just one thing I was told that he's just, and I will say this having covered
Well, then
Sark
there's
this
not
year,
a total buy in. If you can't if somebody can't be honest with you and you can't accept that and understand that you need to get better, or if you're going to pout and try to figure out a way to get out, guess what? There's a lot of all this that, you know, guys are bought in. That means there's a lot of guys that aren't bought in.
Right.
There's still enough of them that aren't bought in that you got to really work at this.
Right. And that's, you know, the message Sark has had. And we've covered him. He's a pretty honest guy. He's pretty candid with what he says. And, you know, there's some thought that, you know, he's just really honest with the players of where they are and where they need to get to, what the bar is going to be.
Like
and,
this, say, hey, behind closed doors, you stink.
Well, you can do it in a productive way.
Sure you can. But you know what? What's scary is the same guys that we see that don't get it done still come back the next week. You know, when there's 60 minutes of play, they're still on the field. And a bunch of that is, what are you going to do? You can't put people out there that can't play. period.
Yeah. Well, and you're trying to coach them up and get them
and
turned.
You are trying to win games, by the
sure.
way.
And that's, you know, that's just what I was told, that's been part of the problem, that all the coaches are being very honest with these players of, you know, the one thing that was said about Sark when he got here and what he said about this staff is it's a championship-level staff. Coaches who have been around championship-level teams, whether it's at Alabama or Washington, you know, Notre Dame, we know where the staff came from. And, you know, the argument is they know what it takes. And so they're being very honest with the players of, hey, you're here, you need to be here. This is where you are and this is where we need to go. And if you're not willing, you know, some players just weren't willing to go there. And we saw Joshua Moore transfer out of the program during the season. You know, and you're right. I mean, some players who probably should have been sat sooner didn't get sat because it was that depth issue. There's not anybody behind them.
Yeah, you still have to try to win games.
Sure you do. But
you can try to prove a point, but.
But I would say you can't lower the bar in the process, right? You can't give in, and that becomes the question, and that's just.
No, you still have to work on those same players. Those same players that you got to take off the field at times, you can't then just give up on them. Well, you still got to work. You still got to work with
and
them.
And that's where, which not many fans are going to have, the patience is going to have to come in because this isn't the National Football League where you can turn your roster over in one offseason. In NFL, you can sign free agents, you can make trades, you can do a lot of different things you can't do when it comes to talent acquisition in college football. Now, transfer portal's now here, right? So you can recruit your 25, 26 players, which they're going to do, and you know, and then you can attack the transfer portal and try to bring in your kind of guys and the kind of guys that are going to be at the bar level you want.
Yes.
But with a scholarship limit of 85, you know, you bring in 35 new players, that's a lot of players. I mean, that's a lot of roster turnover that you can see in 1 year. And as you said, can you address quarterback? Can you address offensive line? Your biggest issues, pass rush is among your biggest issues. Those are all goals for the Longhorns as they head out. Now they've got this name, image, and likeness program coming online. The Clark Field Collective is in place.
Nice.
All right, we'll preview the Cowboys game coming up. Cowboys and Saints tonight in New Orleans. The Big Easy will be the location. We'll preview that coming up. Also, Craig Way with the Craig Way Report. We've got your B&E fact of the day this morning. It's a buck off Thursday. Who needs a pat on the back? Who's earned a kick in the rear? You decide every Thursday right here on the Show of the People.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a Thursday. Got to give a big buck on to your guy, Buck. High money. See Kai Money yesterday?
What did my man do?
Hanging him up.
What?
Hanging him up.
Surfer boy, what is he going to just go hang out at the beach now?
Yeah, Longhorn walk-on wide receiver Kai Money.
Nice degree.
Who was a favorite of Tom Herman back in the day, but didn't see the field much. He was under Steve Sarkisian on a Twitter post yesterday. Says it's time to hang him up. Wasn't supposed to make it this far, but I believed in myself and more importantly stayed close to the handful that believe in me. Most thankful for the relationships I made along the way. Thank you, Longhorn Nation, for everything. Hook 'em.
Head to the beach.
Hashtag walk on.
Hashtag beach boy. Beach bum.
He's from South Padre Island. But, yeah, man. So, props to Kai Money. You have been a part of that. That walk-on life, there's no joke there.
No, I found spots for my walk-ons. Anybody that walked on, from the first minute I started coaching, I had a walk-on that was very, you know, very meaningful in my group that actually played in games.
Yeah, well, I mean, the walk-on
program.
I had
a lot of people say, wait a minute, are you seriously going to put him in? I'm like, yep, he knows exactly what I need him to do. No more. Catch and fall, my friend. That's it. I don't need a hero. I don't need a hero. I just need a guy who could catch it out of the backfield and fall down. Right at the spot he caught it. So make sure you went to the mark where the first down was. Do not come up short and do not get past it for 8 more yards. If you run with that ball, you're going to come to this sideline and you're going to think you're a hero because you got the first down and 8 more yards. But no, what you're going to do is have me scream at your ass right there on the sideline and say, what are you doing with the? What did I tell? What was it that I asked you to do?
Do your job.
Do your job.
That's all you need to do.
That's right.
Yeah, but Kai Money.
I had one at Illinois. I had one at Boston College.
You're the reason why players transfer, man.
What are you talking about?
What kind of
about?
Logic is that?
What? What do you mean, what kind of logic
how,
is
how,
that?
How do I get a scholarship later on if you're telling me to go down when I can make something happen? If there's nobody in front of me, wide open field, I'm a player. Where I came from, my high school, I was the man. I'm going to make something happen.
No, you're going to get a first down, and you've already made something happen by what I told you to do. When you do that, that's okay. That's fine. That's a part. That's your job. That's a part of the team.
There's a middle ground here.
There's no middle ground. If I tell you to put your ass on the ground after you catch the ball,
you got to fall down.
Well, have you seen the players at Texas, with the exception of the freshmen, when they catch, they fall right down. They catch and fall. It's not catch and run here.
Well, there is the Bill Belichick mindset of do your job, and we're not going to ask you to do something you can't do.
That's right.
We'll never put you in a position to do something you can't do.
And guess what? I was in the spot to understand that. After that, you can't do anything but catch it and fall down.
But Zay's point is right. If you do your job and there's more to be done, do it.
No.
Come on, man.
No, I don't need you to do it. I have somebody else for that. That's why I have guys like Sean Mitchell that can catch and fly. When they catch it, they fly. When you catch it and start stumbling down for an extra 4 or 5, they slap the ball away from you. And then I got to explain to the head coach why I have you in the game at that particular moment. Oh, I'm just trying to give him a chance, coach. I really coached him up on that. Really? Did you coach him up to fall after he caught it? No, he thought that he could get an extra 6.
And then he fumbled.
and gave them the ball.
Oh, man. Cowboys and Saints tonight. You'll hear it right here on the horn. It's the 7:20 kick. Cowboys will be without Mike McCarthy. He's out with the COVID issue. Some will say that could be an advantage for the Cowboys. Is that possible to not have Mike? I actually have Dan Quinn leading the way. Of course, Dan Quinn was the Atlanta Falcons head coach, so he's very familiar with the New Orleans Saints and that division. Some are saying this could be a benefit to the Cowboys. We'll see. With Kellen Moore in charge of the offense, Dan Quinn will run the defense and be the point man tonight for the Cowboys, who hope to have their starting three receivers on the field for just the third time this year, with CeeDee Lamb back from his concussion, Amari Cooper off the COVID list, and Michael Gallup in the lineup. That's as formidable as it gets as far as the National Football League goes. But they haven't had that but twice all year. Could they have it tonight to go with Tony Pollard and Zeke Elliott? And then on defense, may have DeMarcus Lawrence back tonight. The tank could be back to help out with the pass rush along with Micah Parsons. And you know what you're dealing with, Buck, tonight with Taysom Hill.
Yes.
Right? I mean, you got to get ready for the run game.
You may see Micah Parsons more in the middle with Taysom running, drop, step, and go stuff.
Yeah, I mean, here's what you know about Micah Parsons through 10 games. He's going to make impact plays.
Yes.
I mean, wherever he's coming from, Micah Parsons is as impactful a player as we've seen come into the league in a long time, making impact plays that just, stripping balls, sacking quarterbacks, making things happen. And that's got to get ready for tonight. Here's what you know about Sean Payton. Sean Payton is going to be creative with his offense tonight. He'll know where to attack you, and he's going to go after it. Sean Payton's one of the top coaches in this league. He's without Drew Brees, so he's trying to figure some things out. Then Jameis Winston, who was his quarterback, got hurt. So they're going to Taysom Hill tonight. We'll see what this looks like. And the big question for the Saints side of it is Alvin Kamara. He's been out for the last two games with a knee. He practiced on a limited basis this week. If he could play tonight, that gives them a big to go with Mark Ingram, their other running back. Now all of a sudden you've got a strong running game with Taysom Hill at QB, Kamara, and Ingram. The thing that the Saints don't have, like the Cowboys do, are explosive wide receivers. Their number one wide receiver is a guy named Marquez Callaway, I think. I mean, who is their number one? I don't know. I mean, they don't have any. Michael Thomas, the all-pro, is out for the year. He's not going to play this season. So they're not an explosive offense. They're a grinded-out type of team that plays better defense than they do offense. That's how they're going to try to win the game tonight.
Absolutely.
So you got to prepare knowing that. You got to go in ready to tackle people.
And by the way, that offense of the Cowboys has got to get cranking too, because they're going against a pretty good defense.
Well, that's the
defensive front for New Orleans is pretty good.
It's excellent. It's excellent. And they get after the quarterback, especially in that building where it's so hard to hear. It's going to be very loud. Your offensive line, which has struggled in the last month, will be a step slow just because they'll be, going on silent counts. And the get off of the Saints is important, and that's where you get strip sacks and fumbles and penalties, and that's what changes this game. A player for player, Cowboys should win this game, and if their offense comes to play and they can get out to a lead in this game, you feel good about it. But Sean Payton's going to try to make this a grinded out 4-quarter game that falls down on some turnovers and field position, and the Cowboys have been susceptible to that kind of game here of late, and that becomes the question. But it's a big one. This is a huge game for the Cowboys, because you lose tonight, going into 10 days off, you've now lost 4 or 5. Don't look now, but the division is tightening up, because here comes Washington, the Washington football team, who you play next. I still think the Cowboys are going to walk away with the division. But, boy, this has been a rough month for the Cowboys, and you'd like to end that tonight and get things back
Absolutely.
Turned the other direction. So then you just call this four-game stretch, you know, rough stretch, but you went 7-1 to start the season, but now you've lost 3 of 4. Got to go get a win tonight.
Yeah, people are sending me, know your limits, fall down. What the hell is Bucky talking about? Until you've coached for 20-some years, then come to me and tell me about what I know. Until you're actually on the field. I got to listen to this stuff every morning. Cut me a break, please.
You really? Know who I am?
Yeah, I'm not even, I am basically saying that. Do you know? Have you done that? Have you been there? Until you are, just understand that I'm saying what I'm not just making that up. It's not a bit. I was never trying to put people in positions that they couldn't have success. So
I get what you're saying, but I also get what Zay is saying. There's a middle ground here. Middle ground to that conversation.
And I control most of that ground.
You control most of that. Oh, man. We've got good stuff. Cowboys Saints tonight. Talking the Longhorns in this new Clark Field Collective. We'll get back into that coming up. And handing out the buck-ons and the buck-offs, including Kai Money, hanging them up for the Texas Longhorns. It's a buck-on for LSU, right, to land Brian Kelly?
Yes.
Is that fair to say? And a buck-on to USC? For pulling,
but some of the handlings of it, some of the individual handlings of it, and the characters, parts of it are, you know, when I left here yesterday, I was just thinking, you know, you can say one thing, but I've never had that kind of money thrown at me to say, hey, listen, you need to be quiet for 24 hours before you say anything. Nobody's ever said that. Here's $13 million. You're going to start getting $13 million and have a $100 million contract. I mean, that's life changing, but I don't know. I don't think my character, and I appreciate what you said yesterday, E, and when I thought about it, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go to another kid's house knowing what I was going to be doing the next day and feel good about that. I would have to tell somebody.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have to say,
Brian Kelly knew he was taking the job and was still out recruiting for Notre Dame. To me, that's you're the one person that can prevent what happened.
That's right.
Because you're the only one that knows what's going on.
That's right.
You shouldn't have been in the kid's house at that point. Now, again, he was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday ahead of his news conference. And once again,
these are the same people that will text us, specs, hit us on the specs text line every day and say, Buck, you don't know what you're saying. You don't know. As you said, you never had that money thrown at you. But a guy who's known me for over 20-some years, you were right yesterday. I would not do that.
No, I mean, I think that's an easy criticism of Brian Kelly. Now, it's in the past. Now it happened. It's
yes.
Unfortunate. But I still, watching him and listening to him yesterday, I still don't know if he's owning it. He told Dan Patrick yesterday, Brian Kelly, it's always difficult because you know things get leaked and they just get out to the media before you get in front of your guys. I did the best I could.
No, you could have got in front of your AD.
No, you could have not gone on the recruiting trip. You could have not done that. That's the best way, because in this day and age, 2021, once you've agreed to the deal that you're coming and you know you're going to Baton Rouge the next day, got flight plans made, that's when you know it's going to get leaked. You have to anticipate that it's going to come out. So your agent, somebody at LSU, is going to leak this story. It's going to get out. You cannot put your university, your current university, or yourself in that situation. So that's a buck off. But I will give
a buck. Yeah, and nobody's – and as I say, I wouldn't do that. I just couldn't see my – I mean, all the years I recruited, I never cheated in recruiting. I never did something. If I even thought it was wrong, that meant don't do it. If you don't really know the rules of it, then don't do it. You know,
for sure.
If you know that you can go down a hallway and, you know, because back in the day, you couldn't even bump into a kid in the hallway, Zay, back when I was coaching. And if you start speaking to that kid, that was against the rules. You couldn't have those bumps, because we used to always talk about, people would say, so did you talk to him at the school? You know, that was part of the compliance stuff. Well, I saw him down the hallway, I waved at him, but I didn't have this conversation about his family. Those are some of the hardest things to do, but I knew you couldn't do that, so I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, well, and that's what you would hope, right? But again, you would hope Brian Kelly would have better judgment in that case, but at the same time, he didn't, and here we are. But I'm bucking on LSU, and I'm bucking on USC for pulling the deals that they did, because in this day and age, to make both of those deals happen, USC was patient and diligent after firing Clay Helton, and they end up with an absolute home run hire in Lincoln Riley. And again, you know, Brian Kelly to LSU. If you didn't get Jimbo Fisher, who was maybe your first choice, and you didn't get Lincoln Riley, and he kind of played you, to land with Brian Kelly, is pretty good because that guy is the third winningest active coach in college football. Total wins behind Nick Saban and Mac Brown. That's it.
Right.
It's Nick Saban, Mac Brown, and Brian Kelly. And no, he hasn't won a national championship, but to get Notre Dame, you know, through with the academic requirements they have there to recruit and build that program to one that is consistently in contention for the Final Four and in the Final Four twice. We just know when Notre Dame has gotten to the Final Four on the two occasions, they just don't match up athletically. They don't have those, you know, five-star superstars that change games like Alabama and Clemson do. But to get them there consistently and build the program into a consistent winner like he did, Brian Kelly can build a program and coach.
Yes, for sure.
And that's now
Brian, Notre Dame's got to pick up and find the right guy, because the second thing they better do is find a conference to get in, because them not playing this weekend is screwing them.
Yeah, it's hurting them. We'll get into that. The championship Saturday coming up. Also, again, the NFL Week 13 opening tonight. Your Buck-ons and your Buck-offs. Conversations continue all morning long, live, local, and digital. First, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Beatty on a Buck-off Thursday. Multiple reports now coming in last night and into this morning that Notre Dame is indeed going to promote their defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to their head coaching post.
It sounds like that's what it looks like. It's the direction.
Well,
it's
if you believe in Wikipedia, Zay, you on board with Wikipedia? They've already got Marcus Freeman listed as the head coach of Notre Dame. That's the Wikipedia page of Marcus Freeman. It says right here, Marcus Freeman is an American football coach and former linebacker who is currently the head coach of the University of Notre Dame. He was previously the offensive line coach. But yes, there was a report at On3 Sports last night that this is done. Also, this one, Matt Zenitz says, sources, Marcus Freeman has agreed to become the Notre Dame head coach, awaiting Father Jenkins' return from a trip to the Vatican.
We got to get that in first.
Yeah, Father Jenkins needs to return stateside.
That's right.
According to the On3 report, range of 5 years, $28 million total. And this is a fast track. This is a riser. This is a guy who played linebacker at Ohio State, played in the NFL for three different teams, and then rose through the ranks and went to Kent State, Ohio State, and then ended up on the staff at Cincinnati with Luke Fickle, became the defensive coordinator there, and then last year, took over as the DC at Notre Dame. And at 35, he's going to take over one of the top brands and top programs in the country.
Yeah, I'd heard on a show before us this morning that he's the first black coach at Notre Dame, and this would be
that
an
ain't
incredible.
True.
But that ain't true.
Get your facts straight.
I was thinking that now. I was trying to figure this out. How could that possibly be right, or how could it be wrong? Well, I thought Ty Willingham
was a coach at Notre Dame. That is correct.
From Stanford, correct?
That is correct.
Now, that didn't go. That lasted for 3 years. He had a good year. He had a bad year, and then he had a really bad year.
Well, here's what I'll say for Notre Dame.
A really bad year is when you get fired, no matter what your record is.
Correct. Well, Notre Dame went through a cycle of bad hires, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. And much like Texas has been doing recently, every big program goes through it. USC's in the middle of it right now. They think they've solved it with Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
Before there was Bob Stoops, Oklahoma went through a series of bad coaching hires after Barry Switzer. Alabama did it.
Some would say that Michigan has been going through it for
right.
a while.
I mean, you look at the top brands, right, it does happen, right? I mean, Alabama, after Gene Stallings led into a national title, went through a series of Mike Shulas and Mike Prices.
Do you know how bad that was with Mike Shula? It was awful.
Right. And then Nick Saban comes in, and obviously they've dominated college football. And Notre Dame went through their cycle, right? From Lou Holtz until went through Bob Davey, Charlie Weiss, Tyrone Willingham. And that's where you give Brian Kelly a lot of credit. I mean, Brian Kelly came in, stabilized the program.
Dude, they had Gary Moeller at one time.
Yeah. As he said, modernized the program. That was something Brian Kelly said yesterday when talking about his time at Notre Dame, 11 years. He said, I was hired to put the program back on solid ground, modernize the program,
right,
and make it a power again, which Brian Kelly can take credit for. He did. He stopped the madness at Notre Dame and got it back into a championship conversation on a year-by-year basis. And that was the argument immediately of why Marcus Freeman should get the job, is to keep the stability and the consistency and continuity in place. Because with Marcus Freeman, you keep most of the coaching staff. Tommy Reese stays on as offensive coordinator. The recruiting classes for 2022 and 23 stay mostly intact that you've already built. If you go out and you might be better to go get a Luke Fickle or look at Matt Campbell at Iowa State, but then you lose that continuity that has been built over the last 11 years
under
Brian Kelly.
Do you think that if Lane Kiffin left Mississippi to take the Miami job. That's a step. Which way is that stepping?
Lane Kiffin?
Going from, I mean, the way his trajectory has been, do you think that's still going backwards to leave what he's done in 1 year at Mississippi with that quarterback and the way that team plays, if he were to take the Miami job? Or is that just, that's just another move in your career?
I mean, I'm personally not a fan of Lane Kiffin. I wouldn't touch the guy with I mean, I know he knows football,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, the guy gets around, if you know what I'm saying. I want stability. And they're trying to get Mario Cristobal at Miami. But I understand Lane Kiffin. But again, gosh, he was at Tennessee. He's at USC. He's at here
he's
and there.
He's a mover and a shaker.
Yeah, you know.
You're talking about stability. You're not going to feel like he's going to be somewhere for very long.
I just don't trust Lane Kiffin. I think that's been proven. You can't trust the guy. But at the same time, I think what he's looking at, if he were indeed interested in Miami, is get me the hell out of the SEC West. I can go to Miami, recruit Miami.
ACC.
Kind of like Lincoln Riley's thinking at USC. I mean, I can take over the West Coast. I can take over Florida. I mean, look at the programs in the state of Florida. Florida's down. Florida State's down. Mike Norvell's trying to get it back. But, you know, there's an argument that get out of the SEC West where it's just, you know, murderer's row.
Mm-hmm.
Get to Miami, and you only have Clemson that you've got to climb and beat. To get back into championship contention. I can see a coach like Lane Kiffin thinking that, but at the same time, I'm just not a big Lane Kiffin fan.
Yeah, and so in his second year, he has built not only a pretty good offense, but they got a salty defense too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're
it's
well,
a good football
you know,
team.
He's a good coach, and maybe that's where he stays, but we'll see. I'm just saying for Notre Dame, I look at the Marcus Freeman thing like I think they look at it like this is their Lincoln Riley move, right? You know, Bob Stoops built the Oklahoma program, and when he was ready to hand it off,
right,
there was a guy ready to go and keep the stability. That's one of the things Lincoln Riley did, was keep the winning going instead of starting all over. And I think that's what Notre Dame is considering with Marcus Freeman. And, you know, think about it for Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell's sitting there thinking, and I could have Oklahoma or Notre Dame potentially, but I might have this team in the playoffs, so I can't go messing around with that right now. That's two of the top five jobs in America. Luke Fickell might be the leading candidate, but he's pretty much told everybody, I'm not interested. I got a team to coach.
That's right.
Which, you know, credit to him. Credit to Luke Fickell. Because he's got a team playing the American Athletic Championship on Saturday against Houston. If they win it, they'll be in the Final Four.
If nothing crazy, that's right.
Can we get to your B&E Fact of the Day?
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Texas Orthopedics. Texas owned and operated for over 30 years, providing comprehensive orthopedic care for your whole family. TXOrtho.com.
Cowboys opened as a 5-point favorite in New Orleans tonight. It's now down to 4.5, but opened at 5. Here's your fact of the day. When was the last time the New Orleans Saints were that large of an underdog at home for a home game? When was the last time Saints an underdog of that size in the Superdome? It's been a bit. We'll get you the answer on the other side. Also, when was the last time Nick Saban was an underdog to the magnitude he is this weekend against the Georgia Bulldogs? We'll get back to both of those. Also, your coach's corner, your headlines. It's a Buck Off Thursday on B&E.